Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Liberty Roundtable live. This is the broadcast for September 26th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is Hour 2 of 2. Our goal always to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America to get that done. We also are convinced the checks and balances, absolutely brilliant, put in place by the founding fathers to accomplish the goal. We the people can make a difference, folks. We always have. We built the greatest country on the face of the earth. And we can restore the republic. We can preserve the nation, no doubt about it. But it's going to take hard work. It's going to take the American people turning to God to get it done. And wow, do we got a road to hoe on that score. Anyway, long story short, we interviewed Donald Trump Jr. on Super Tuesday. What was it, March 1st, 2016? And it was an incredible interview. And the media, the mainstream press, absolutely went bananas. Because they said, oh, man, you know, Sam Bushman and James Edwards and Kirk Cosby interviewed Donald Trump, and those guys are a bunch of white supremacists, racists, and everything else, and they just went absolutely berserk. It's still in the mainstream press. Jason, over there at the New York Times, still continues to struggle getting the truth out. And I bring all this up because it was an incredible interview. We make no apologies for the interview. The idea that we're racist is bogus. It's a false charge. Nevertheless, they continue to cling to it, and we've literally made headlines all over the world for months over this. Anyway, I thought it would be appropriate, if Donald and Hillary are going to debate tonight, that we should play this interview once again. And so here it is. We'll play it back. We'll talk about it a little bit. And then we got an incredible guest, an advisor to the Trump campaign, coming up in the second half hour, so stay tuned for that. Listen to the interview we did with Donald Trump Jr., March 1st, Super Tuesday. Donald Trump Jr. with us. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
It's great to be here. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Mitt Romney is running around trying to say, Donald needs to release this, Donald needs to release that. The first question is Donald worried about somebody else jumping in the race like a Mitt Romney?
I'm not so worried. I mean, Mitt Romney had his opportunity. He didn't do well with it. He blew it when he could have done something differently. I think, frankly, if he would have taken my father's advice and touted his accomplishments and these things, he would have done a lot better. But he was afraid of what he'd done. He was afraid of success. And it didn't work out for him. So, no, we're not worried about it.
He failed twice in a row, actually, right?
I guess theoretically, yes.
All right, just saying.
No one talks about the year before. You're right.
Quick question. How was it growing up with your dad as Donald Trump? I can't imagine how that would be.
Well, listen, it was interesting, but, he, with us, really stressed the right kind of stuff. I mean, I think there's a reason you probably hear about us perhaps in a lot better light than a lot of other kids of similar backgrounds and wealth. And, you know, he made sure we understood what it was that we had, how lucky we were. He made sure we didn't take any of that for granted. I mean, he focused on education and work ethic. I always joke, I mean, I'm the only son of a billionaire that's more comfortable in a D10 Caterpillar bulldozer than I am on a golf cart, because those are the kind of jobs we started doing. He made sure, we got that. It wasn't, congratulations, you're now the president of the company, and you've never done anything. So, he's about merit and about hard work. And so he was a great dad. He just, you know, people don't see the warmer side of Trump, really. You know, they hear about the business accomplishments and the this and the that. They see that. But I know him as a dad, and I know him as a grandfather now. I have five kids myself, and, you know, he's as good with my little 18-month-old daughter as he is with the toughest construction guy in the country. So he's just an amazing guy.
All right, we got James Edwards, the political cesspool host, with us as well. He was at the Donald Trump rally on Saturday live. It was incredible, over 10,000 people there. James.
Well, Mr. Trump, it's great to talk to you. I want to say one thing very quickly. I'm based down here in Memphis, and I am a Southern Baptist, and I think it's absolutely disgusting what some of the church leadership like Russell Moore has done to your father.
Now, let me just stop you there. So I introduced him clearly as James Edwards, the political cesspool, mentioned that he was at the rally, mentioned that there are legitimate credentials. James does the same thing. And then when the mainstream press tries to abuse Donald Jr., Donald says, my goodness, I didn't even know who I was talking to. Those guys pulled a fast one on me. That isn't true. poor Donald Trump Jr. got caught by the media liars, and he didn't respond that well. We forgive him for that. I'm just telling you, we were very clear on who's who. Back that up with the emails that they reached out to James Edwards first for this interview, and you develop a pattern that there's no way we played any games by baiting and switching. Anyway, the interview continues. Nothing controversial in here so far. You know what? Donald Sr. teaches his children to work hard. And James Edwards chiming in saying, hey, I really don't like how the Christians aren't being very Christian to you and your family. That's not very controversial, is it?
And I can tell you that that is not the way the people in the pews believe, and that I hope that your father becomes the next Charlemagne after he becomes president of the United States. But
now, just so people know who Charlemagne is, go research it. It's like a Christian king back in the day, right? I mean, it's wow. Is that really that controversial?
As Sam mentioned, your father was in Tennessee on Saturday, and I was in the press pen as a member of the credentialed media.
More details. I was in the press pen as a member of the credentialed media. This is very clear. We're painting a very good picture who James is. We're not pulling a fast one on anyone, folks.
I can tell you that I was the only person on that side of the fence who wants to make America great again. One of the things we were talking about before you called in was it seems to me that the establishment press has long since abandoned objective reporting and now sees itself as the enforcer of political correctness. Am I off base in drawing that conclusion, and why do you think...
No, not at all.
Now, this is a very clear thing. So we're attacking the mainstream press because we've attacked them for 25 years. Donald Trump has attacked them as well. This is not controversial to say this. They have a narrative, an agenda. And then even James Edwards even gives Donald Trump Jr. the ability to disagree. Am I off base on this? He could have said, yeah, you kind of are, and here's why. No, he said, no, you're not off base. Here's his response. Absolutely, completely agrees.
You know, it's amazing when I see some of the stuff that's there. You know, and I've been to these rallies. I travel around, and I go to the debates, and I'm actually there. And, you know, it's so disingenuous at this point. But I think because of my father, maybe he's got a big soapbox, and that's why he's able to do it. But the average American's finally getting it. They see it because I'll watch a speech for an hour, and you'll see it, and I'm sure you can vouch for me on this one. He'll say something in minute number 5. He'll say something in minute 15. He'll say something in minute 45. And they blend the three things together as though it was one thought, and they say, he's such a terrible person, look what he said. It's like, it's so phony. But you know, people are getting it now, and that's what's amazing, because you know, this isn't just a political campaign, it's a movement. You know, the number of people that show up at these things, it's not a campaign rally where the number two guy is really thrilled because he had 123.5 people in a room, and maybe there was a dog in the background. I mean, he's getting 10, 15, 20, 30,000 people in a stadium to hear him because, A, they're fed up, and B, he's giving a voice to hardworking Americans again. You know, the hardworking American, the people that made this country so great, they've been left in the dust. You know, they're not a political class that's catered to. The left could care less. You know, the left would worry about people who don't want to work, who could care less. They want to be, they cater more to people who are here illegally, and they care more about the feelings of countries that would love to see us wiped off the face of the earth than they do hardworking Americans. It's ridiculous, and people get it.
And Donald Sr. needs to listen to Junior and take a page out of that playbook for the debate tonight.
Tapped into that. My father, you know, he talks to those people. He talks with those people. He's not talking at them like these other guys who are basically academics. You know, they're talking in theory about how everything should ideally work in a perfect world. They don't get it because they've never functioned in the real world. You know, they do whatever their political, you know, the guys that write the $5 million checks to their campaign, they tell the people what they want to hear, and then they do whatever the special interests tell them to do. It's so fake, and I think we've changed the game forever because people are finally onto it.
All right, so, Kurt Crosby, do you want to ask Donald Trump Jr. a question? Kurt?
Well, thank you, sir, for being with us. And by the way, Pat Buchanan has got a recent article. He says, you're watching the Republican Party being reborn, and I agree with him, and I think it's exactly what you've just stated.
Now, the Republican Party being reborn, absolutely perfect, non-controversial reality check for all the mainstream Republicans and all the mainstream press, but see, none of them even get it. To them, that's controversial. See, to me, it's the truth being spoken by Kurt Crosby, and Donald Trump Jr. sees it and agrees.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Do you think the Republican Party is going to change forever as a result of this? Is the crony capitalism and behind the backdoor dealing gone?
Well, listen, I think if we become president, that certainly will. That's why they're so afraid. That's why the right, rather than embracing someone who's bringing in new people to the campaign, to bring in new people into the GOP, having
we got a quick break. Do you have a couple of extra minutes?
Yeah, I got a couple minutes.
All right, stay there. Quick break. Come right back. Couple of quick questions, and we'll let you fly. Donald Trump Jr. with us, ladies and gentlemen, telling us a little bit about what it was like to have Donald as the father, and now on the campaign trail with his dad. We'll tell you about it in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Fascinating, huh? Donald Trump literally has a wonderful son who agreed with everything we said in the interview. What we claimed was very transparent, very open. He agreed with everything. We even asked him, hey, will you stay longer with us? And he said, absolutely, sure, I've got extra time. Because he enjoyed the interview, because it was spot on. And everyone, including the mainstream press liars, knows it. Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
We make no apologies for the incredible debate that we had, or I'm sorry, interview we had with Donald Trump Jr. Since it's the debates tonight, we thought we'd play that award-winning interview that the mainstream press has gone ballistic over for literally months on end now. Every mainstream press news organization covering it, to say the least, calling us racists. We stand by the interview with no apologies, no backtracking whatsoever. Here's Donald Trump Jr., interviewed on Liberty Roundtable Live on Super Tuesday, March 1st. Riding shotgun on the broadcast today, ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump Jr. from the campaign trail with his father, live on Liberty Roundtable. Right before the pause, we were talking about Pat Buchanan. He's saying the death. He's calling it a death rattle of the establishment, no doubt about it. Donald Jr., your father is really growing the Republican Party. They claim that it's different, but they're lying. Everywhere you see, he gets more crowds than... By the way, I said a death rattle for the establishment. Even Donald says, yep. He even agrees with that. He could have said nothing, but he agreed. He said, yep, agreed, basically. Anybody, and people are quitting the Democratic Party left and right for your father.
Listen, I agree. I mean, you know, I was saying it's not a campaign anymore. It's a movement. He's getting people, you know, he's winning all these independents. He's turning Democrats who are just sick of the same old lies. They may not even be on board with a lot of, you know, the conservative ideology, but they're saying, I want to get someone getting things done. You know, the independents that are coming over, when we joke, I mean, we go to my father's rallies. You know, we won in Nevada with fat people. We won with skinny people. We won with smart people. We won with not so smart people. We won with, you know, Hispanics. You know, so you say, well, they're like, well, how could he win with Hispanics? There's two Cubans in the race. It's like, well, A, they know that these guys will just tell them whatever they want to hear. B, when my father brings up issues, he talks about immigration. He's not afraid to have the conversation. Everyone else, before, it was taboo. All of a sudden, it's a huge talking point. He's not afraid to talk about how disastrous the VA system is. You know, we want to take care of our veterans coming back, you know, and, you know, well, we can't talk about that. That's a disaster.
Another absolute highlight issue. Clinton has left the veterans out to dry. Donald needs to highlight that difference in the debate tonight.
All these things that are becoming big issues in the party are because he wasn't afraid to talk about them initially.
He's also employed more Hispanics than the other gentlemen have even thought about, right?
Oh, well, without question. But look at who's hurt by, you know, illegal immigration the most. It's not going to be me. It's going to be people who, you know, Hispanics who are sitting there being like, yeah, these guys come in, they undercut my jobs, they'll work for less because they're not paying taxes, they're not paying in the system. You know, we brought up all of these things. So people who are finally fed up, people who haven't had a voice in for so long because they know, you know, the little, you know, cadre of special interests and, you know, establishment guys, you know, they control all the power, they keep it everywhere, they keep everyone else out. And finally, someone like my father has the strength and the ability to break into their box. And they know their little world is over. So, I mean, it's a real movement. You know, look at the turnout. You know, we even win with evangelicals. We're winning with this because they're sick and tired of the same old nonsense. And I think Jerry Falwell Jr. Said it best. He goes, you know, listen, you know, Carter may have been the perfect Sunday school teacher. He may have been the perfect evangelical, but he was a disaster as a president because he didn't know how to get it done. Someone like Trump, who does care about family, does care about the things that we really hold dearly, but he also has a track record of actual success, doing it in the real world, and he's going to do that. That's why we're winning people over. They get it.
All right, last question from James Edwards. Then we'll go ahead and let Donald Trump Jr. with a final parting shot. Go ahead, James.
Well, you're absolutely right, Donald, and that is, here in the South, I can tell you, evangelicals are in a frenzy over your father, and in a very good way. They're going out, and we're going to carry Super Tuesday. In fact, as soon as I get off the line today, I'm going to vote, and I'm going to be voting for Trump, obviously. But I want to say this. He's going to do better with Hispanics and other minorities than either John McCain and Mitt Romney did. You wait and see. Of course, Nevada, the results out of there have already suggested that. And in terms of growing the party, look at how huge Tennessee, the Secretary of State of Tennessee, where I am, has already said that early voting broke all records, and that is because of one man, and that's Donald Trump. And I can tell you this.
Correct.
We mentioned Pat Buchanan a couple of times. I got my start with Pat in 2000. I have never voted for a Republican nominee. I've always voted conservative third party. I will vote for a Republican nominee for the first time in my life in November. So that is growing
the party. I really appreciate it. And I see it all the time. Listen, I live in New York City, right? I'm a good old boy at heart. I mean, I'm a hunter. I'm a fisherman. So I spend a lot of time in the South, so I see it all. But, you know, I'll be at dinner in New York City with my wife. I put the five kids to bed, go out to dinner with my wife, and, you know, some old lady will come up to me. I want to talk to you about your father. I'm saying, oh, boy, I'm going to get a fight with an old lady at a restaurant. I don't need this right now. They're saying, I'm voting for your father. I say, that I did not see coming. And they're saying, we're sick of it. We're fed up. And they're telling me, literally, I have never voted for a Republican in my life. And I'm not just saying, it's not like a soundbite. Like, I've heard it so many times, it's almost like, oh, my God, there's really something here. Like, we're going to win New York State as the GOP, which has probably never happened, at least not in my lifetime, because people get it. They're sick of it. We're going to carry some of these states that the Republicans, it's like, why even bother? Like, don't even show up. You know, it's incredible. And we're getting just the movement across the board. Yesterday, we had the CEO of NASCAR come out and endorse us. You know, Chase and Bill Elliott, you know, drivers come out. And you're getting everything. And now you're actually even seeing some of the great, you know, guys, Jeff Sessions, you know, coming out and endorsing us, because, you know, they get it. They're like, you know what, maybe it's time to actually do something for the country rather than just keep lining our own pockets as politicians.
Now, Donald Trump has a press conference today, right?
Yeah, he's all over the place today. I know he's working hard, and that's what he does. He's always worked hard his entire life. He's employed people. He's given, you know, he's created jobs. He's had, you know, he's created. You know, these other guys, they talk about, oh, they've never even had an original thought, let alone created anything. And they talk about, well, he had 2,000 deals. We'll talk about one deal that didn't go well. Let's talk about it. It's like, of course, that's called life. Anyone's going to have a deal that doesn't go well. It's going to happen. They don't talk about the, you know, thousands of successes, the millions of, you know, jobs and the benefits that have been created because of those things. You know, it's time. If you're fed up, if you think, you know, politicians are doing a lousy job, go vote for my father. Let's change the game a little bit. If you think the country's going in the right direction, if you think that the politicians who, you know, these guys, they're promising you what the last 10 guys have promised you. Guess what? How many of them delivered? Ever. None. What's going to be different this time? Nothing. You know, if you think that those guys are doing a great job, go vote for them. You know, we don't want that vote. But if you're fed up and you're sick and tired of it, like I am, and like all the people that I run into, that I've run into, you know, across the country now that I've been a politician for, you know, 9.5 days, if you're fed up, you know, go vote for my father. You're going to see some change.
Well, like everybody else on the planet, everyone's frustrated.
Here, not just with my, you know, the minorities are going to come out, but the white working class is going to come out, which is really the base.
Oh, by the way, think about it. I can't tell you, we've built more jobs union and stuff like that than anyone. But you think, you know, those traditional voting blocks that are union guys, do you think they're voting for Hillary? What have the Democrats done for the unions, for the hardworking guys?
No, they're
absolutely
not
nothing. You know, they keep going, they keep allowing everyone who doesn't belong in the country, let them in, give them jobs, give them this, give them health care, let them undercut your wages and prices. You know, those guys are going to come out for, you know, a Republican for the first time ever. It's a movement.
All right, Donald Trump Jr. with us, ladies and gentlemen. One last point, then you can make a parting shot and fly. You know, it seems to me that Donald Trump has almost become the elixir of truth. In other words, at first these politicians make you believe this and lie about that, and pretty soon, though, you find out who's who when Donald jumps in the middle of it. Pretty soon you got Glenn Beck completely out of control. You got all these different people just beside themselves. Ben Sasse was supposedly elected as a good conservative guy. Now he's going, I'm going to vote third party if Trump gets the nomination. These people are melting down and showing their true colors, Donald.
Listen, I agree, but it goes to show you how desperate and weak they are. You know, they know their little party is over. They know they've been taking advantage of the American people for too long. And now, because of my father, we're on to him. We get it. We see what's going on. You know, he's you know, picked up the skirt, so to speak. Everyone knows what's going on now, and they can't get away with it. And you know what? It's time. It's time for these guys to be held accountable. To actually be held accountable. I mean, it's a novel concept. If you know, Marco Rubio, he shows up to his job 35% of the time, and he talks about all his experience and all the things. You know, what happens if you show up to your job 35% of the time? You don't have a
nah,
job.
Nah. I'm gone.
It's ridiculous. It's over.
All right, you got a parting shot, sir?
Encourage. Listen, guys, just get out and vote. You know, showing up to the rallies, being supportive on social, you know, showing up and screaming for Trump, putting up signs in your yard. None of it means anything if you don't actually go out and vote. So go out, vote for my father. We're going to make America great again. Thank you so much.
Godspeed. Tell your family hello from us. Thank you, sir. There you have it. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
This hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Author and historian Jesse Walker, who has spent decades examining and writing about fringe politics from the perspective of a nonpartisan analyst, disagrees with Donald Trump's claim that Hillary Clinton began the birther movement, but he has documented as well that her 2008 campaign exploited the issue in search of a magic bullet that would end Obama's career without the pain of political persuasion. Speculation about Obama being a foreign-born figure ineligible for the presidency was encouraged by Clinton intimate Sid Blumenthal, who has been spreading smeary stories on the Clintons' behalf since the 1990s, Walker observes. Mark Penn, another longtime associate who was a key advisor to Hillary's 2008 campaign, composed a lengthy memo encouraging the candidate to emphasize Obama's lack of American roots and recommended that she give some life to this contrast without turning negative. Every speech should contain the line, "You were born in the middle of America, to the middle class, in the middle of the last century," recommended Penn. "And talk about the deeply American values you grew up with. Let's explicitly own American in our programs, the speeches, and the values." Penn continued, "Let's use our logo to make some flags we can give out. Let's add flag symbols to the backgrounds." The approach outlined on Hillary's behalf in Penn's memo, concludes Walker, actively aimed to turn the fear of the other into a political weapon. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We just replayed the award-winning broadcast that Sam Bushman, Kirk Cosby, and James Edwards did with Donald Trump Jr. on Super Tuesday. Wow. The debate tonight is going to be incredible. The Donald, one of his greatest strengths is his unpredictability. He will absolutely have a heyday with Hillary. Tonight is my prediction. It will not go well for Hillary. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have Steve Cortez on the line with us. And Steve happens to be a member of the Hispanic Council for Donald Trump. He's also a Donald Trump advisor. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, Steve.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Do you think race is going to be a factor in the debate tonight? Are they going to talk about race? Is Hillary going to call Donald a racist?
She probably will. By the way, I'm here. I'm at Hofstra, so I can't wait. It's got a little bit of a feel, I think, of almost a prize fight, right? It's kind of Ali versus Frazier. I guess I'm dating myself by saying that. But no, look, you know, one of the reasons that I love Donald Trump, maybe the main one, in fact, is that he doesn't cede what are traditionally Democratic issues. He doesn't cede those and give those up to them. So they have been calling us racist. Trump's not the first nominee to hear this. They have been calling the Republican nominee racist every 4 years, every election cycle of my life. But what's real racism? Is it, you know, something made up about Donald Trump, or is it the reality of the Democratic Party and its inept policies keeping far too many people of color, Latinos and African Americans, in lives that are unworthy of the American dream? One third of minority children live in poverty. Almost all of them live in inner cities and in blue-controlled states and cities. So the policies of the Democratic Party are not working for these people. They want their votes, but they don't really care about their lives. And so I'm proud that Donald Trump is reaching out really deliberately to people of color and saying, humbly, give us a chance. We have answers. We have solutions. We have policies that will make your lives better, more prosperous, and safer.
What have you got to lose is his point, right?
And that's true, unfortunately, right? And he's taken a lot of flack for that. But, you know, when you go and talk to people in these communities, they'll agree. You know, I'm from Chicago, and in the month of August, 400 people were shot in Chicago. The vast majority of those, young African-American men. So the African-American community is under no illusions about what it's far too much of their community is like. And look, of course, there's great success stories in the Latino community and the African-American community. But the norm, unfortunately, has been slow growth, poor, failing government schools, and neighborhoods that are not safe. And that's just the reality people live with. So I think Trump has given voice to that and has reached out to them and say, you know, we want your votes. The Democrats take you for granted. We want your votes and we want to make your lives better. And so I hope he stands forcefully on that tonight if he is called a racist.
He needs to talk about Black Lives Matters, and he needs to say, listen, I feel horrible for the people that have been murdered in Chicago. That's awful. But it's black people shooting black people. What we need is fathers in the home. What we need is families. And then he needs to go on and explain how come they're not talking about the Planned Parenthood racist organization that literally murders more black babies than any other race. Unequivocally so, doesn't apologize for it. 60 million deaths to date by abortion in America, and primarily the blacks and the Hispanics are targeted more than whites. Isn't that as racist as it gets?
Yeah, you know, and amen to that. And, you know, Donald Trump was not always pro-life, but he is vehemently so now.
People can change, sir, for the better. We love it.
Absolutely. Ronald Reagan did. Ronald Reagan was a liberal. A lot of people forget about that. He was a Democrat and a liberal. He changed. One of my best friends, Rick Perry, the former governor of Texas, was elected as a Democrat and is now an incredibly conservative Republican. So, of course, people, you know, can evolve and change, which Trump has. And you're exactly right, by the way. Planned Parenthood was founded as a racist eugenics organization, and that legacy continues to this day. It's this whole idea that we want to get rid of undesirables.
And Donald needs to clearly tie Hillary to that tonight.
I agree with you. And we want to tell them that, you know, we want you born, first of all, and then we want you to live in a home, hopefully with a mother and father. And we don't want government policies that deter that. And a lot of our welfare policies do so. And then we want you to go to a great school, and we want you to have the choice of where you go to school. That shouldn't just belong to rich kids. You know, the Clinton kids and the Obama kids, they went to private schools, very, very expensive private schools. They didn't choose to send their children to government schools, but they're consigning poor kids who don't have that option. They're consigning them to a failed educational system. Why? Because they care more about the teachers union than they do about educating children.
Now, Steve Cortez, who's on the Hispanic Council for Donald Trump, a Donald Trump advisor and more, you know, the mainstream press wants to lie and say, you know what, everybody hates Donald because he's a racist, he's abusive to Mexicans, he's abusive to everybody, he's hostile to the Hispanic community or to the Latinos. But I want to make something very clear, and this should be highlighted in the debate tonight as well. While Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton try to make those claims, Barack Obama is funding a wall along with Mexico on the southern border as we speak. And then they mock Donald for trying to create a wall on the northern border?
Right.
Needs to highlight this reality.
Right. The American taxpayer is helping to pay for Mexico's wall on its southern border because it has a problem also. It has a porous border. And has a problem there. So, yeah, isn't that ironic then? And then they'll get all self-righteous and say we have no right to control our own border. And, you know, let me tell you this, too, as an Hispanic, as a son of an immigrant, someone who did it the right way, who went through the process. And by the way, the process isn't easy. It's expensive. It's lengthy. It is totally unfair to immigrants, to people like my dad, to millions of Latinos, Asians, Eastern Europeans, millions of people who did it the right way and immigrated here. It's totally unfair to them to then say we're going to allow people to cheat the system and hop in front of you. That's patently unfair. It's bad economics. It's bad for our security. So, you know, we're not anti-immigrant at all. Donald Trump is also the son of an immigrant. A lot of people don't know that. He's married to an immigrant. We love immigration. It has to be done the right way. We have to gain control of our border, just as Mexico should gain control of its southern border.
Now, it's also interesting that they claim Donald's a racist because of the comments he's made about rapes and pillagings and plunderings and illegal and this kind of stuff. We need to clearly tonight draw the distinction between those comments that Donald's made regarding this criminal activity versus good, honest people who want to come to America for the right reasons. What he's saying is we've got to lock out terrorists and criminals. And we got to find a way after we get that done to let good, honest people who can add to the American society and economy and life allow them to come. But we've got to stop the thugs first.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the left wants to convince us that there is some sort of right to immigrate to the United States, which, of course, there is not. And quite the opposite. We as citizens have the right to determine who should be let in. And I think we do want a lot of immigration. Again, I'm not an immigrant, neither is Donald Trump, but we need to be smart about it. We need to do it the right way. It has to be secure. It has to be people who love our country, our Constitution, who want to work hard, who have good backgrounds. And for the most part, by the way, that is the case, right? Immigration has been incredibly successful, mostly for the United States, but there's some terrible breakdowns. The worst example I can think of is San Bernardino. The wife, Mrs. Farouk, who came in here completely unvetted, and even a cursory look at her social media would have told anybody that she is a jihadist. And she came here for that purpose, to radicalize her husband. And what do? They murder a bunch of innocent Americans at a company Christmas party. I mean, what a tragedy. What a breakdown in our security system. That should have been an easy, no way, no entry for her. So we've got to get smart and tough. It's for our national security, for our economic security, and as I said before, for fairness to the people who've done it the right way. So Trump offers a vision and a way forward, upward and out of our present imbroglio, whereas what you'll get from Hillary Clinton is the exact opposite. Just constantly call us a bunch of racists, and continue the same failed policies that have gotten us where we are, which is less secure and less prosperous than we should be as a country.
I was able to broadcast live from the center of Media Row. I mean, CNN and all the liberal media were all surrounding me while we broadcasted live from the Republican convention in Cleveland. And one of the interesting things that I had an African-American lady on the radio with me, and we were talking about, they claim Donald's a racist. And she said, you know, if you're white, you're a racist. If you're black or Latino, then you're like an Uncle Tom. You're an apologist. You're somehow betrayed your roots. Do you want to respond to that, Steve? I think that's offensive.
You know, I get that a lot on Twitter. They call me Tio Tomas, Spanish for Uncle Tom. And you know what? I do have a sense of humor about it, but it's insulting, really, right? And the left gets away with the kind of smears and name-calling that we would never get away with on the right. Donald Trump is called a racist by the mainstream media hundreds of times every day. Most of it's unchallenged. Sometimes it's not. I love it when I'm on there and I can challenge them. As long as your show's done and encourage viewers at noon Eastern, I'm going to be on NBC Facebook talking about this exact issue.
Say that again. Tell people where to go to get it, Steve.
So noon Eastern time on Facebook. You have to join the NBC News Facebook page. It's got 7.8 million members. I'll be on there at noon. I'm also going to be on a lot tonight. I'll be on Chris Matthews' Hardball before and after the debate. And we're going to be talking about all these issues. And believe me, I push back as hard as I can that, also it's demeaning to say that just because I'm Latino and because somebody's an African-American, that they have to automatically give their support to the Democratic Party. I'm sick of identity politics. I think it's made our country more divided.
It's racist to have identity politics, sir.
Yeah, we need an end to that. We really do. Isn't it sad? Look, I think it's a wonderful thing that we...
Hey, hold on, Steve. I got a quick break. Can you stay with me after the break?
You bet.
All right, stay with me. Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Cortez. He's on the Hispanic Council for Donald Trump. He's a Donald Trump advisor. He's on Liberty Roundtable Live. And he's working with Latinos all over America. And the real issue is appropriate legal immigration versus illegality. Aren't we law and order in America, folks?
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Cortez with us. He's on the Hispanic Council for Donald Trump. They're mocking him and calling him Uncle Tom, too, in Spanish. These people are crazy. All he wants to stand for is good, honest policy that separates illegal from legal. Okay, we're fine with immigrants, but we just need things to be legal. And if we've got to change one thing in America, it's our bogus policy that has really caused more problems than you can possibly imagine. So the debate's going on. It's fascinating. When I was at the Republican convention, not only did I interview that black gal that pointed this out, just so you know, Steve, I talked to somebody at Univision. And one of the L.A. chiefs at Univision, I asked him flat out if Donald was a racist, and he said, no, sir.
Yeah, you know, listen, again, I think maybe some of the mainstream media think that if we just say it enough, eventually it'll stick, right? Let's just call him racist every chance we get. But there's no evidence, none, that there's anything in his private life, in his business life, certainly not in his political campaign. I am so proud of the way he is reaching out in a way that, frankly, the last two Republican nominees did not. If you look at Romney and McCain, they didn't reach out to African Americans the way Donald Trump is. They didn't reach out to the Latinos, I think, the way he is. And I think that's why, by the way, this is driving the left crazy. Even though they call him a racist on a 24-hour news cycle, he's polling far better among African Americans than did Romney and McCain. And he's polling with Hispanics right about where they did. So he's either meeting or outperforming the Republican norm among voters of color, despite this incessant narrative that they're throwing our way. And I think it's going to backfire on them. I truly do. I think we're going to see his numbers. I think he's going to significantly outperform among voters of color. That's certainly my hope, and I'm working hard to try to make that happen.
Hey, Steve, what do you think the most important things are during the debate tonight? What I basically said is, look, Donald needs to be kind and presidential. He needs to clearly highlight the differences between Hillary and himself. One, regarding this, they're building a southern wall while they're mocking his northern wall lie. This deception they're playing. We need to talk about pro-life versus Hillary's pro-death policies. We need to clearly highlight the differences of how we would deal with taxes. We need to basically just make the issues as stark and as contrast as we can get in a polite, forceful, direct way that just makes Hillary out to be an absolute socialist, which she is.
Right. Well, and that's the good news is, you know, right, it's not hard to draw the contrast here because it is stark. And I think more than anything, I think the American people, and I think polling backs this up, the American people are with him on issues. They're already, and they're with him, by the way, just in terms of regular polling. He's slightly leading in most polls now, most credible ones, and certainly in battleground states. He needs to convince, I think, the on-the-fence voter that he has the temperament and the capability to sit in the Oval Office, you know, tomorrow, that he's ready to be the president of the United States, to have the nuclear code, that he has the gravitas as a leader. Because he's never been in politics, and that's a strength, but it can also be a weakness. So he needs to show people tonight, like he did in Mexico, for instance. I thought he was incredibly presidential when he went down there and met with President Peña Nieto. He needs to act that way, I think, tonight. So hold his ground forcefully on the issues. Certainly call Hillary what she is, which is untrustworthy, a liar, and in many ways a socialist. But do so without seeming mean or without seeming like a bully. He has to do it in a presidential, respectful way. If he does that, I think he wins the election tonight.
He needs to refer to destroying evidence. He needs to refer to perjuring yourself before Congress. There's a difference between a little white liar stretching the truth on your resume versus perjury, sir.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. No, she's committed crimes, in my opinion. She should have been indicted. She wasn't. So the American people are going to have to be the jury instead and vote her to head back to Chappaqua.
Last question. Anything you want to tell America, whatever you want to say to anybody, anytime, anywhere, what would you tell them?
You know, I think the number one thing is economic growth. Obama's going to leave office as the first U.S. president to never have 1 year of 3% or higher GDP growth. We're too great a people, too great a country to settle for that kind of mediocrity, for this 1-2% sluggish growth. I think people feel it. They see it. Since the end of the recession, 4 out of 5 U.S. households have seen – that's the end of the recession, so I'm not including the pain of the recession. Since then, 4 out of 5 U.S. households have seen their income go down. So while we have a stock market that's at all-time highs, largely because of Fed policy, we don't have an economy that's humming at all. We have answers, tax reform, regulatory reform, smarter trade deals. We're going to get this country – we're not just going to make America great again. We're going to make it grow again.
Hey, Steve, are you going to sit next to Mark Cuban in the front row?
But I will be there. You're excited.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
There you go. Steve Cortez, ladies and gentlemen. You know, they can talk all day in the mainstream press about how Donald's evil and he's a racist or this and that. The reality is Steve, very articulate, very intelligent, American who believes in liberty. This isn't about dividing people, folks. This should be about bringing people together. It should be about stopping illegality, but promoting appropriate legal people who want a better life everywhere all the time. We got to stop terrorists. We got to stop people who want to destroy America and want to promote abuses on the American people. And we've got to reward those who want to make America great again and or be part of the greatest nation on the earth. There's a way to get that done, folks. There absolutely is a way to get that done. That's what Donald's advocating for. Now, make this clear. I have not endorsed Donald Trump. I've endorsed a third-party candidate, so it's not like I'm just in the tank for Trump. However, I am interested in telling the truth in the media. That's what the mainstream press just cannot seem to get done. They just struggle to tell the truth is the problem. The mainstream press lies. And I mentioned to you that I emailed the New York Times. And I did, because the New York Times is not honest. They've lied about me and about my talk shows. And they even lie about correcting it. So I emailed Jason. What's that goofball's name over there at the New York Times who wrote lies about me? And I called him and we talked and he was polite. And I've been kind to him at first because I thought he really wanted to do the right thing. However, now I'm starting to question it. It's Jason Horowitz, the New York Times. Anyway, I write this over the weekend. Last night I wrote this. Hi, Jason. Have you printed your retraction correction on your false claims regarding me, my radio network, and our talk shows? Last time we talked, you mentioned that it takes time to get the corrections published. But while you're working on the correction retraction, it turns out that others are taking your content and publishing false information, adding insult to injury. In addition, we see a correction from your colleagues in just over 20 minutes. And then I say, see here. Okay, and when I say see here, I point to an article that the colleagues of Jason write, which is, the NY Times issues correction after saying Charlotte shooting victim was unarmed. Posted by Blake Neff. And it goes on and explains that they, they say they had an error. But within 22 minutes, they corrected that one. Alert, correcting to say that it was unclear whether Mr. Scott was unarmed or not. So they correct that one within 22 minutes. So then I say to Jason, okay, Jason, it actually took them 22 minutes to retract, correct. What gives? Are you going to make this right and report the truth as you said you would? Are you going to make sure others using your content have the facts as well? We look forward to your response ASAP. Thanks, Sam Bushman, owner, Liberty News Radio. And I give my phone number. So blatantly, bottom line, The mainstream press has even highlighted that they claim that Donald lies more than Hillary. And my response is, you're talking about a husband and wife who have both perjured themselves in sworn testimony? Those kind of people you're saying? You're talking about a woman who has literally had her staff destroy evidence after a stay was issued by the court to say don't tamper with the evidence? You literally have a criminal in Hillary Clinton. Now, maybe Donald has stretched the truth a little bit like a resume, saying, you know what, I've done this and I've done this, and maybe he's a little fast and loose with some of that. But you compare that to perjury? Come on now. Don't even start with me. The mainstream press is in the middle of a lie with Sam Bushman right now that they can't even correct. Well, they can. They just seem to be unwilling for some strange reason. I'm disappointed in Jason. I can't believe Jason really is telling me he's willing to correct it and that it takes time to correct. I don't think he's making a valiant effort to correct it at all. My headline says I am completely disappointed, Jason. If the New York Times, which is supposed to set the standard in print journalism, and they blatantly can't even get this clear fact corrected in my behalf, what does that say for the mainstream press, folks? What does that really say? And that's something critical to think about, folks. The mainstream press flat out cannot be trusted. They're dishonest. They have a politically driven agenda. Okay? And we need to learn to turn them off. We need to learn to turn the news the networks refuse to use. Liberty Roundtable Live. The Political Cesspool. Many other radio broadcasts that tell the truth. For example, I defend that article with Donald Trump Jr. It was a phenomenal article. I mean, a phenomenal interview. And all they've done is have written articles acting as if we're somehow some evil, not even worth being talked to. The mainstream press lied and said James is a leader of the KKK. They've been sued over that. Ladies and gentlemen, the mainstream press lies more than Donald and Hillary put together. And these people are crazy. We'll keep an eye on Jason Horowitz and see what he does. Does he have the integrity to do the right thing? I pray the answer is yes. Maybe Jason wants to do what's right, but his staff won't let him. Maybe Jason should resign and go get a job with the media that will actually tell the truth. We hope, Jason, that works out for you, my friend. All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com. This nation shall endure.